Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I urge you to be a student of the Bible. In the Bible, we come to know God, and we come to know the way of salvation. The Bible is a book that has been delivered unto us by the Lord God of heaven, whereby we might know His will and be saved. I'm reading to you a passage of Scripture from 1 Thessalonians 1, 5 through 6. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Paul is writing this epistle to the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the elect of God, the saved of God, having been called by the gospel. They have heard the gospel, believed the gospel, and obeyed the gospel, and hence they are the church. As the church, they have bestowed upon them the blessings of grace and peace. Paul says that his gospel had come unto them. We have the record of Paul and his co-workers coming into Thessalonica and preaching the gospel. This is recorded in Acts 17, verses 1 through 3. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Paul and his workers are traveling through this area. Their purpose is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and establish the church of Christ. They come to Thessalonica. Paul, as his custom was, went in unto the Jews in the synagogue where they gathered. And the scripture says that he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. We use the scriptures to reason with people. We want people to see the truth of the gospel. We want them to see the need of the salvation of their soul. Paul used the scriptures to reason with these individuals. We use the scriptures because the scriptures are authoritative. The scriptures are from God. The scriptures are inspired of God. The scriptures have been delivered unto us by God through His Holy Spirit. And so we use the scriptures to reason with people. And as we use those scriptures and reason with individuals, we are to know that God desires that we be saved through obedience to the commandments that have been delivered unto us through the scriptures. That which Paul reasoned was that Christ had suffered, Christ had risen from the dead, and that this Jesus whom Paul preached unto them was Christ. The truth of the gospel is that Jesus Christ came into the world having been sent from God the Father. He lived upon the earth as a human in flesh and blood. He died upon the cross of Calvary for the sins of humanity. He was raised from the dead on the third day. He ascended into heaven and took his place at the right hand of the throne of God. Angels, authorities, principalities, dominions being made subject unto him. And he was given by God a name that is above every name. According to Ephesians 1, 18 through 23. Jesus Christ reigns now at the right hand of God. In his church, he is the king of his kingdom. Paul reasoned with those at Thessalonica using the scriptures, and declared unto them that Christ had suffered, that Christ had died, and that now he had become the anointed of God. The apostle says that the gospel came unto them in word, in power, in the Holy Ghost, in assurance, and in affliction. I want to notice the manner in which the word came unto the church of God and Christ in Thessalonica. The gospel came in word. The gospel is a message which is preached, proclaimed unto humanity. It is a word that we hear. It is a word that must receive our attention. It is a word that must be accepted and believed. God chose that the gospel be preached in word. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, the apostle Peter has preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit, you remember, has come upon them, enabling them to teach only what God wanted taught. And Peter preaches that day about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those people listened with great interest. They gave attention to those truths which Peter proclaimed. They listened with great interest. The gospel is to be heard with interest, and our intent must be to hear the gospel so that we believe the gospel and obey the gospel. At Acts 2 and verse 40, the scripture says, "With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Peter described this generation as a crooked generation, a sinful generation. All the generations of humanity are sinful generations. This is why we must hear the gospel. This is why the gospel must be preached, because sin is in the world. And with words, Peter exhorted them to save themselves from this sinful, untoward, crooked, rebellious generation. Peter used words to convey the truth that Christ had died and that Christ had been raised from the dead. We use words to preach the gospel. The gospel is a preached message, a proclaimed message that is to be heard by the human ear and received by the human heart. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 20, the disciples have been taken by the leaders of that day, and they have been commanded not to preach or teach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are bound by these religious leaders, and then they are released, and an angel instructs them in Acts 5:20, "Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." In the Bible, we have all the words of this life. Everything that is necessary and essential for our salvation is given to us in the Bible. And they were to speak those words of life in words. The Bible, or the gospel, comes in word. The gospel is preached, and it is to be preached with faithfulness. Those who preach the Bible are to know the Bible and proclaim the Bible as God has delivered it so that we might be saved. In John 6 and verse 63, Jesus said himself, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The words of the Bible are spirit and life. Jesus spoke to the people using words. The gospel comes in words. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 14, Peter is recounting the obedience of Cornelius and his household to the gospel of Christ. And he said that the Holy Spirit had said to him, "Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved?" With words we are saved. With the word of the gospel we are saved. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, when Peter appeared at the household of Cornelius, the scripture says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said," and so words are used in the deliverance of the gospel. We use words to teach, to reason. We use words to convey the truth that Christ has died and that he has been raised. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 26, we have this statement of scripture, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent." The gospel is a word of salvation. The gospel is not a word of entertainment. The gospel is a word of salvation. God wants us to be saved. God wants us to know his will. And so, with words, Peter said, "Save yourselves," because the gospel is a word of salvation. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus said again, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." The word of Christ is going to be the manner by which God judges the world. It is essential that we know the word of God, because the word of God will be the instrument which is used to judge us, whereby we must give an account for the deeds of our life, and whereby our eternal destiny will be decided. In Romans 10 and verse 8, Paul said, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." The gospel is a word of faith. The gospel is a word of salvation. The gospel is a word of spirit and of life. The gospel is a word of judgment. The Thessalonians had received the gospel in word, but the gospel had also come in power. The gospel is a message of power. In those early days, those who preached the gospel were able to confirm the truthfulness of the gospel by the miracles which they were able to perform. Jesus gave testimony to the truth of his word by the miracles which he performed. He healed the sick. He restored sight to the blind. He restored those who were crippled. He even gave life back to some that were dead. That was a confirmation of the gospel. That was the power that Jesus used. And the disciples used that power, the apostles, as they went forth to preach. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, this question is asked, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" The gospel is a message of great salvation. It is great because God has designed it. It is great because Christ has authored it. It is great because the gospel is able to save our soul and provide us with that hope of eternal life in heaven. And so we must not neglect this great salvation. When you hear the word of the gospel, you need to receive that word and obey that word so that you might be saved, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. There was power in the word. The word was confirmed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Miracles, signs, and wonders were performed by those who preached this word. The word was confirmed by the Lord who first spoke it, And then it was confirmed by those apostles having received that power of the Holy Spirit. But the gospel is a word of power that is able to save our soul. The gospel has the power to redeem us from sin. The gospel has the power to snatch us from the devices and the temptations and the allurements of the devil. The Bible, the gospel is able to deliver us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of Christ, of God's dear Son. In Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The gospel is God's power unto salvation. Think about that. The word which is spoken has the power to save the soul. That's the power of the gospel. The gospel came to the Thessalonians in power. In Romans 15 and verse 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." The Holy Ghost revealed the word to those who proclaimed it. The Holy Ghost brought that word that Jesus had spoken to their remembrance, whereby they could preach only what Jesus had taught and only what God revealed. And through the power of the Holy Ghost, the Romans were filled with hope and joy and peace. They abounded in hope because of the power that is in the Word of God. The Word of God has the power to save us, and thereby we have hope in God. We believe that God is going to save us, not only from our sins while we live here, but also give unto us eternal life. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans 16 and verse 25, "Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." The mystery was the gospel of Christ, the inclusion of all of humanity so that they might know what they must do in order to be saved. And God has the power to establish us. God has the power to establish us in the truthfulness of His gospel so that we can be saved eternally. Paul says God's power to establish us is according to the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. What a marvelous message. What a powerful message. The message of Christ is the message of hope, the message of redemption, the message of freedom and liberty from sin. The gospel is a message of light to those who walk in darkness. The gospel is a powerful message that gives birth to hope in the human heart and establishes those who will receive the word. The Thessalonians had received the word in power. In 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 through 5, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Our faith is to stand not in the wisdom of man, not in what man might teach us, what man might tell us, what opinions and judgments man might have, but in the power of God. The gospel is a message of power, and the Thessalonians had received that word because of the power of the message. They had become the church in God and in Christ, and had bestowed upon them the blessings of grace and peace because of the power. The gospel came in the Holy Ghost. We have the gospel because of the Holy Ghost, the work of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 1:8, Jesus is with his disciples for the last time. He's about to ascend into the heavens. And so he says to his disciples, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come unto you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Jesus was going to send his disciples throughout all the earth so that all men everywhere could hear the gospel, so that they might be saved from sin, so that they might have faith in God, so that they might be established in the church, and so that they might have the hope of eternal life. And the Holy Ghost was going to bring to them that word. The gospel is a message of revelation from God. It's not a work of man. It's not the thinking or the philosophy or the opinion or the judgment of man. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God. The Bible is an inspired work, having been delivered unto us by God the Father through the Holy Spirit, and having been preserved by God through His providential care throughout all the years of time, so that today you and I might be able to know the Bible and believe the Bible and be saved by the Bible. In Acts 2 and verse 4, these apostles were in Jerusalem as Jesus told them to be, and it said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit upon them, they were able to speak to all of that multitude, speak to them in their own language so that they could understand what was spoken and what God wanted them to do. We have a revelation from God that is established upon the truthfulness of God and upon the power of God, having been delivered unto us by the Holy Spirit through the apostles. In 1 Corinthians 2:9 through 12, Paul writes to the church of God in Corinth. These are saints. They've been sanctified in Christ Jesus, 1 Corinthians 1:1 and 2. That's the church. The church are the saints of God, having been sanctified by the Holy Spirit. They are the called of God through the gospel of Christ. They are the obedient of God, the election of God. And Paul writes to them, chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, "But as it is written, I had not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Paul said, "What eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and the heart of man has not conceived, has now been revealed unto us by God through the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is able to search the heart of God, know the heart of God, and has revealed unto us only what God wants us to know. The Bible contains only what God wants us to know and what we must know and believe and receive so that we might be saved. Paul had not spoken unto them the things of man. He had not revealed unto them the wisdom of man, but he had revealed unto them that which was delivered unto him, as he says, "By the Spirit of God, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." Why? So that you might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We can know what God wants us to do when we listen to this word that has been delivered unto us. In Ephesians 3 and verse 5, "Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto us by his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." The gospel came in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God. It was not a word of man, but rather it was the word of God that was delivered by his Spirit. And so Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." The Bible is an inspired book. The Bible is the very breath of God that has been delivered unto man by his Holy Spirit. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible is profitable for doctrine, for teaching. The Bible is profitable for reproof. The Bible reproves us of the manner of life that is not desirable of God, so that we might be accepted of Him. For correction, the Bible will correct the way we live so that we might live acceptably before God, and it is an instruction manual in the righteousness of God. And finally, the Thessalonians had received the word in affliction. The gospel had come in much affliction. When we go back to Acts chapter 17 and read about Paul's visit in Thessalonica, we see that he was afflicted by those who did not desire to hear the gospel, who were the enemies of the gospel. They're enemies of the gospel today. There are people who do not want other people to hear the gospel. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." We're going to have to overcome the afflictions of the world so that we might stand fast in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is going to present obstacles. He's going to cause us to suffer in this world so that we will forsake God. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's going to be affliction in believing the gospel and accepting the gospel. In Philippians 1 and verse 29, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." If we believe on Christ, we're going to suffer because of that faith. The world is going to reject us. The world is not going to accept our goodness and our faithfulness to God. They want us to be like them. They want us to believe what they believe and walk in the way that they walk and give allegiance to the devil. We can see in our society today the power that the devil has over the minds of so many people. And they live in obedience to his will rather than in obedience to the will of God. And so Paul says to the Philippians, you must believe on Christ, but you're also going to have to suffer because of that faith. And you're going to have to endure, and you're going to have to overcome, and you're going to have to continue to be steadfast. In Acts 8 and verse 1, Saul was consenting unto his death. This is the death of Stephen recorded in Acts chapter 7. Stephen is preaching the gospel to these people. He's telling them what God wants them to know so that they might be saved. And Saul consents unto his death. They kill him because of what he's preaching. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. There was a great persecution against the church. The enemies of the church rose up against them and persecuting them, thus driving them into all areas of the world so that the gospel might be proclaimed. In Matthew 5, 10 and 11, Jesus was speaking to those who would hear him as he delivers this sermon. And he says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." The prophets who brought God's message of repentance and salvation to the nation of Israel and Judah were persecuted. Those to whom they preached persecuted them because of the message that they brought unto them. Jesus said, you're going to be persecuted, but blessed are you if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. If you live a righteous life and you're persecuted because of that, then you will be blessed because yours is the kingdom of heaven. To us belong the kingdom of heaven. The Thessalonians had been converted by the power of the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." When they heard the gospel, they turned away from the idols that they worshipped. You must turn away from the sinful life that you live. I must turn away from the sinful life that I lived. I must be converted by the power of the gospel. And so unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel was proclaimed, and thus they became the church. This is Talks from the Bible delivered unto you by the Church of Christ.